This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
This is The Mainframe. Welcome back to our Smarter Product Creation Strategy series. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about finding a profitable market. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. And talking about profitable markets, the new Star Wars film is going to make absolute billions. Have you seen all the excitement and pre-orders of tickets? It's just amazing.
Yeah, they had their earnings call yesterday, Disney did, and the impact it's already having, and the movie's not even out yet, but just through merchandising alone, the impact it's already having is huge. And that just goes to show what, you know, a solid fan base will do, because, you know, I know I'm going to be there opening day. I have a pretty good feeling you're going to be there opening day. And they've kind of tapped into this mythology. You know, we've all been, well, I won't say all, but a lot of us fans were let down with the prequels. And we look back to the originals as ways to what Star Wars universe really should be like. And then, you know, Clone Wars and Rebels kind of taps into that as well. But this new way of approaching it, the way Abrams appears to have, of course, we haven't seen it yet, but from what we've seen, it really starts to capture the essence of what we all feel as fans. And that's really key to building a profitable product.
Yeah, but somebody did point out that the episode one trailer was fantastic as well. So we need to temper our excitement a little bit. But the genius of all this goes back to George Lucas making most of his money from merchandising in the first place. Who would have thought back then that nerds was going to be such a leading marketplace for companies to make so much money?
Yeah, that was brilliant on his part to maintain and control the rights of the merchandising. And of course, back then the studios had no idea what this was going to become. And it's just forward thinking when you're trying to identify the right market fit for you to start looking at all the different ways that market is not being, you know, fed or met with what they need right now.
Yeah, and George Lucas grew up on the Flash Gordon serials and comic books. So he understood the market he was speaking to because he was part of that market. So it's not just the available income that nerds have. It's also their passion and what they're driven to engage with and consume and want more of. But I often joke that geeks have inherited the earth because we're driving entertainment, we're driving the technology space. A lot of the business models of the modern society is based on the nerd. And so you only have to look at San Francisco to see both the good and bad of that. It does mean, though, that it's a great market to tap into, and it's a sustainable and scalable market. And that's why so many people are flooding into it, not understanding. We use the example of Fantastic Four probably too much, but Fantastic Four is an example of people who don't get it trying to force something onto people, force feed a market that isn't ready or willing to accept their product.
Yeah, and understanding your market is key. And that's, you know, starting out with who are you trying to help and who are you trying to tap into is very important. You kind of go where they kind of congregate, because one of the things that was great about Breaking Bad was the Reddits and some of the other forums that talked about the minutiae of the show. And the showrunners and Gilligan really watched that. And not that it shaped how things went, but it did have some impact. And, you know, Walking Dead, they do the same thing. I mean, a recent episode, I won't spoil too much, but if you haven't seen the Morgan episode yet, you might want to, you know, turn this down for a second or two. But we meet the cheesemaker who's taught Morgan how to use the bow staff. Well, the guy that trained the actors played Donatello in the Ninja Turtles movie. And throughout the show, there's all these references to Ninja Turtles. The character's name is Eastman, after Kevin Eastman. And there's turtle references everywhere. I mean, Eastman's wearing a Save the Tarpons t-shirt. I mean, little things like that, details, comes from knowing your market and meeting them where they are, learning from where they're at, their forums, their you know, the associated Reddits and social media stuff. Learning about your market and understanding that and helps you feed that market allows you to build a product that they're really going to latch on to.
Yeah. And we've seen just recently there's going to be a new Star Trek TV series, and some people are dreading it and some people are excited about it. And it's because of the movie reboots, which I actually like. And one of my friends has worked on Star Trek Episode 3 movie in the special effects department. So I'm particularly excited to see that. And what it comes down to is you have to tap into a want or a need or a desire that's there. Instead of trying to create something and then see if you can sell it, it does happen that people can create things and sell it and it can be successful. But the example of that people usually use is Apple. But in fact, Apple always serve a desire that's already there in the market. They weren't the inventor of the iPod in that they didn't invent MP3 players. They saw that the existing MP3 player user experience was bad and created a better experience for it.
Yeah, and really what that takes is once you've started to identify that market and you go out there and you learn about what it is that they're suffering from, what are the pain points, what are their real needs, and you start to create a target profile. You know, you can create a mind map or a basic portrait of it, and you really start to define what does that target customer look like and who is it that's going to consume this product that I'm creating.
Yeah, and you can use social media spying and go into forums and groups and see what people are asking. And you can supplement that with your own feedback from your own discussion list, your own customers. Talk to people, look at your analytics. And you can validate all your ideas, because the worst thing is to have assumptions. And going back to the flop movies, it's usually because the assumption is, oh, they want explosions and they want some sexy time. That'll be enough. These guys aren't very sophisticated. And then the Rotten Tomatoes scores come in, the reviews come in, and then it's like, wait, what happened? There was all these explosions and special effects. No, that's not actually what people wanted.
Yeah, and that leads on to, you know, when you research your competitors, you need to be looking at the right thing, because that's a good example. Because if you look at what Marvel has done, if you were looking at the basic typed outline of what Fantastic Four was going to be, they would say, okay, well, these match. This is exactly what they're looking for. But there's so much missing from it. It was like there were blinders on and they only saw one thing. And that's when you're looking at what your competition is doing or what your potential competition is doing, you need to make sure you're focusing on the right things, because you have to identify what it is that's missing from that market. What is it that people are really looking for? And that's what you build your product around, not just what is everybody else doing right now.
Yeah, that's my worry about the new DC universe, because they looked at Marvel and said, okay, they've got a universe. We've got a universe. Let's do that. It's like, well, actually, Marvel grew those organically. And a good example of getting it wrong is the Green Lantern movie. It was so close to being good, but it turned out bad because they just got it so wrong. And part of that is the bad side of chasing the money, right?
Right. And you have to understand where that money is actually going and what it's doing. So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's talk about following the money when you're building a product.
The Mainframe is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for building your own online marketing and sales platform. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. Stop trying to hack together your website yourself. Head over to rainmaker.fm/platform today and get back to building your business.
So how do you follow the money, Chris? How do you kind of track down where that money's actually being spent?
The first thing is to see if there is any money in the market that you've identified. We've identified a very rich market of nerds, but a new market, you are going to go into that thinking, okay, how do I know? How do I know people are spending? And the first place, the most visible place, is advertisers. If you put searches into Google, do Google AdWords come up? People trying to reach that market in Facebook. If you like some of the groups that you identified earlier, do ads turn up? Do people start trying to reach you because you've cookied on a website? The remarketing, retargeting. And what are they trying to sell to these people? How are they reaching them? And what are they reaching them with? What problems are they trying to solve for these people?
And another really great but kind of old school way to do that is through researching different niches by the magazines that are out there. Now, I'm not talking about online magazines because it doesn't take a whole lot to put up a, you know, a fan site or something. But if you look at actual glossy magazines, people are spending money to produce those. And who is advertising in those magazines? That gives you an indication that there is a real market there, because otherwise people wouldn't be spending the time and effort to actually produce these things.
Yeah, and the fact that they're producing something that's got a lot of overhead and has its own marketing attached, and then people are paying to be in that, and you can probably get some idea of circulation. It gives you an idea of the scale of that market, the level of premium versus low cost, and what people are spending money on, and how this market behaves, interacts, communicates, and the desires and goals of it. But then you can look at things like Amazon sales rankings, look at the books and products and see how they compare to other niches, how active it is, what the reviews look like, and what are the prices.
So once you've started to do that, you need to begin to narrow down that market of people that have a real pressing need, that are willing to spend money on it. Because just because there's a market doesn't mean that people have a problem they're willing to spend money on to solve. So you really have to start to determine, is there a real need here that people are willing to pay for? And do you have a legitimate, credible solution for what it is that they need?
And Sonia's got a great example. People who collect fountain pens will spend a fortune to get the fountain pen that they really want. And they have an addiction to buying these things and buying accessories, but they will not spend money on advice about that market. So if you create an ebook about fountain pens, don't expect people to stampede to your door to buy it, but they will spend hundreds of dollars to buy the product that they want. They're in the market, but they're not in the market for education. They're in the market to buy fountain pens and related accessories.
Yeah, and we see that mistake made often. There's a difference between people that will buy the main subject of what it is that you're going to provide a product around, but they won't necessarily buy advice or sort of ancillary information about that product. So you need to really take your research and kind of distill that down to a real solution that people are willing to pay for. That's really what this comes down to.
Yeah. And so really to summarize, what's missing, what are the gaps that you can fill, and what can you credibly fill? And what are the options you have that will have the most impact on the people you can reach? Because it's no good having something that is too much of a luxury, that it's too much of an option. It needs to be something that people have a pressing need for, that they will be delighted by and get a lot of impact out of, a lot of results out of. Because the more immediate the solution is to a problem they've identified, the less you're going to have to spend on advertising and marketing the thing.
And that's an important point, because you're essentially bringing a new product to market, and there may be similar things out there, but the more immediate that you can provide a solution, the better, because the identifying of the problem and then solving the problem are two sides of the same coin. But a lot of times people misstep and they think that they can deliver a solution in a timely manner. And it turns out it's not quite the solution you were after or quite the solution they were after. So you need to really think about how you can impact, and does that impact deliver the actual results they're after? And it may be a stepped formula. And we'll talk about this as we do other episodes when we talk about different types of products in detail. But like we talked about a little bit in the membership series, that you may do a step. So this may be a result and a solution for part A, and then they buy the next piece that's for part B and C. So think about, are you delivering the entire solution at once? Are you delivering pieces of it? But however you do it, it does have to be immediate. There has to be an impact that they can measure right away.
And you don't want to be competing against free. So your solution has to be positioned as better than the alternative. And you don't want to be commoditized. So you need to be able to say, this has an advantage. This has a benefit over and above anything else you're going to get out there. And very often the free solutions are free for a reason. It might be untested opinions. It might be conflicting opinions. It could be some of the free solutions are either out of date or just bad and dangerous. It could be that your main advantage is the convenience factor. They could get the information from various places elsewhere, but you've packaged it together into one consumable system. Whatever your advantage is, you need to be able to communicate that so that you can get the price that you deserve.
And that's all about positioning, which we're going to cover in a later episode, because really what you're trying to do, you are confident that you can deliver the result that they're after, and you have to be able to position that correctly. So you start with, yes, this product is the solution. I'm confident in it. I know it can work. I can demonstrate that it can work. Then we start talking about how you communicate that, and we'll talk about that later on. So really what this comes down to is you need to go out and see where the market is for the product. Where are the needs? And you do that through researching, through going where people are, where they congregate, and start getting some information about that market. And then the next step is really to see if that market is willing to pay for a solution. Is there money being spent there? Is this something that people will take free advice on, but they won't pay for? Or are they willing to spend money to get a solution? And then finally, you need to distill all that research down into a solution that you can provide, something you can confidently put together, a product that delivers what you say you're going to do.
So the next stage is to actually go ahead and start creating your product. So that's what we're going to look at in the next episode, starting your product creation strategy.